As soon as the newlyweds returned from their honeymoon, the young bride called her mother, who lived a couple of hours away. "How did everything go?" her mom asked. "Oh, mother," she began, "the honeymoon was wonderful, so romantic. We had a terrific time. But, mother, on our way back, Andy started using really horrible language. Stuff I'd never heard before. Really terrible four-letter words. You've got to come get me and take me home, please, mother," the new bride sobbed over the telephone. "But, honey," the mother countered, "what four-letter words?" "I can't tell you, mother. They're too awful. Come get me, please." "Darling, you must tell me what has gotten you so upset. Tell mother what four-letter words he used." Still sobbing, the bride said, "Mother, words like dust, wash, iron, cook." You see, it truly does depend on how a person interprets words as to what they mean. For the young bride, her husband's words were fighting words. Seriously, in a very real sense, all the conflict in the world from the beginning of time has been because of words. For the entire creation itself came into being as a result of a few words. God spoke them, and as they came forth from the Word, Christ Jesus, they became matter, becoming the universe and everything in it. So far, so good. Everything was fine and dandy. But then someone else started mouthing words that contradicted the words God had spoken. That someone was the devil. And so began the war over words. It's been going on continuously ever since. When the earth was created and our first parents were formed from the dust of this earth, there was peace, harmony, perfection. God gave some of his word power, the actual authority and bringing forth out of nothing power of words to Adam, because he and Eve were created in the very image of God to be God's governors, as it were, on the earth. A portion of this power, which heretofore only the triune God possessed, had now been delegated to the very special beings God had created in his own image. This divine power was a treasure impossible to value, so immense it was. It was a power direct from God. And guess who wanted it? The devil, having already rebelled against God when he looked away from the infinite splendor and glory of God and saw his own resplendent glory, which was actually reflecting God's own glory, realized that he too was beautiful and more beautifully radiant than all the other creatures God had made. He began to tire of always and forever ascribing praise and directing all the worship of all of heaven's angels and spiritual beings to the triune God. Why, he was beautiful and glorious too. Shouldn't the others show him a little appreciation for all his work, at least once in a while? And there it was, pride. And with it, rebellion took root in the devil's heart. And with it, an intense, overpowering lust to take possession of the great gift God had bestowed on humanity, the power of words. Well, why should God have given lowly humans, these ugly physical creatures, limited to living only on this physical material earth, such authority? Why, these physical creatures were so weak and, in his view, ugly because they looked like God. Their only spiritual quality was because God had put some of his spirit into them to make them living beings, reflecting God's own image. Yet, they couldn't hold even a candle to the resplendent glory and luminescence of Satan himself. And God gave them the power of the word? What an injustice! How undeserving they were! What possessed God that he would bypass his own glorious spiritual beings, the great angels and archangels, the cherubim and seraphim, the powers and principalities, and give them the power of the word? It was just not right. So, Satan took over one of Earth's animal creatures, a serpent, the Bible says. It was likely a dragon, like the dragons described in East Asia, which were snake-like with legs and could fly through the air without wings. Regardless of what it looked like, Satan indwelt it and spoke through its mouth to a gullible and unsuspecting Eve. Twisting God's own words, he confused and deceived Eve into doing the one and only thing that God had specifically commanded Adam and Eve not to do, to eat from the fruit of that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in the middle of the Garden of Eden. Well, we know the catastrophic tragedy that unfolded, the power and dominion that one and only triune God had bestowed upon Adam and Eve was forfeited, and the whole of the physical creation came under the devil's power. However, he still wasn't able to take the power of the word given to humanity, for God ensured that his power of the word given to us remained with us for the express purpose of fending off the devil and frustrating his plans forever. Of course, the devil has not given up. The power of the word is the ultimate power, aside from God's supreme authority itself. Gaining the power of the word would be the highest the devil could elevate himself in comparison to God himself. But it's not possible, and never will be. So what's the next best thing? To hoodwink humanity to use its power of the word to worship the devil and death. And the rest, as they say, is history. For us who've lived much of our lives in an era when America still retained a culture which revered God's word in both its living being in the form of Lord Jesus and in its printed form, the Holy Bible, it was normal to, at the very least, respect God and acknowledge that his word is truth, the only truth, and nothing but the truth. For us to now find ourselves living in a time when all truth, God's word, has been cast aside, accused as being nothing but an evil collection of myths, lies, and fairy tales, when lying itself has become a revered art form, with new masterpieces of it produced and displayed every single day, we're like fish out of water. We don't know what to do, for we've forgotten that by God's grace and plan, we still retain the power of the word. In the face of ever-increasing and ever more deafening whoppers of lies, we must now stand up and speak the truth. It matters not whether anyone listens or responds to our words. The very fact that we speak God's words of truth is all that matters. For if they are God's words, they will accomplish all that God had intended them to accomplish from the beginning of time and the world. Which is why we must take ever more seriously the awesome power God's given us in the power of the word. As is revealed in the report of Lord Jesus dealing with a demon that wouldn't allow a poor boy to speak at all. The devil either wants us to shut us up completely, that is, censor all of us, cancel all of us, or cause us to speak untruths, gossip, blasphemies, and use God's very name in vain, which is what we hear over the airwaves and internet waves and social media from dawn to dusk and in all hours during the night, and which James 3 describes as mouths which produce both blessing and cursing at the same time. just another way of describing schizophrenia, split personality disorder, which so aptly describes and accurately describes America today. All people today are so hard-pressed to discern the truth in all the tsunamis of lies thundering over us every day that most people find themselves bobbing up and sinking down, swept to and fro, so lost they'll wake up one day after death, finding themselves trapped forever in hell with the deceiver in chief. But God has left us a permanent hard copy record, the Holy Bible, the encyclopedia of all truth, in which every word is true and truth and unchangeable. We can disagree with not a single word of it. As he is unchangeable, so it never changes. And he has made certain over and over that humanity has no excuse to forget it. 20 years ago yesterday, a plane was hijacked by terrorists who planned to crash it into the White House or the Capitol in Washington, D.C. But patriots on board fought the terrorists, and the plane crashed instead in a Pennsylvania field, upside down at a 40-degree angle, igniting the 5,500-plus gallons of jet fuel in a tremendous explosion. The resulting crater was 30 feet across and at least 15 feet deep. The aircraft and contents was pulverized, leaving only tiny bits and pieces, unrecognizable as having ever been a plane. Yet, but 45 feet away, was an intact, unburnt, open Bible. The only thing to survive. It belonged to Donald Peterson, a devout Christian. Angela Rodriguez writes, "The message of today is no different than it was in 2001. The United States of America needs the living word, Jesus Christ. We need to get back to our foundation built on the principles of the Bible. Our only shield is the Almighty Savior. The world around us is not much different than Flight 93. It's hurtling toward the ground at breakneck speed. We can already smell the smoke and feel the heat. We know we are facing quite a battle. The hijackers have stormed our land, and they have our Constitution in hand. It seems they've taken control and are determined to take the plane down. But we have a weapon that can overcome the darkest of agendas. We have the Word." So, people of God, use it. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the many commemorations and remembrances of 9/11 that occurred yesterday, that in their total serve to remind us, anyone who will listen and hear, that we need you. We, your people who know this, help us to stand up and be counted to speak your truth in the face of the lies all around us. And so, help us to bring forth the revival you desire, to grow in our land, to turn us around, and save us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.